What's up, guys? How's it going? And welcome to Café LeBlanc podcast number 20. Today, as a special day, we are here with my friend, Dylan Maypai. How are you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me on. Should be fun talking about all the games we played this year, and some maybe we haven't, but maybe want to. Should be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. So the first half of this game, podcast today is kind of talking about the games that we played so far in 2021. Then at the end is going to talk about the games that we kind of feel like they're like the true GOATs of 2021. But we're going to give you like about five games. And then at the very end, we're going to talk about the games that we're looking forward to the rest of 2021, any particular games or anything. And you guys also can contribute in the comments below if you want to like drop down your games or in games that we haven't covered that you played or anything like that. Definitely come by and let us know as well. Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump right into this right here. Oh my god, everything is just a little crazy right here. There you go. Okay, so what do we got here for January 2021? I think we're just talking about a lot of games came out in January, which is weird because to me, January is always like the month where we don't have anything going on. January is like the June or the July of the year, right? I always feel like the games that want to come out are going to come out like much later on the year, like maybe in like February, March, April. So a lot of the people just kind of wait until then. But this January was packed up with some pretty cool games. So you were saying that you played Hitman 3, right?
Yeah, Hitman 3. I didn't pick it up till recent because I wanted to wait for sale because I know these Western games, they go on sale pretty quickly. Big fan of this series, this part of the reboot trilogy they did. This is the third one, not episodic like the other ones. This one you get all the maps on the disc. They're like open sandbox, like super replayable. You get in these costumes, do whatever you want. You can kill people, drown them in the toilet, or you can dress up as a chef and poison their food. It's just so much fun. I highly recommend you check them out. I believe it was on PS Plus, like the first one, for free a while back. So
yeah.
I think they're super cool. Like stealth games, I highly recommend them. So this one probably the best of the three.
So you think this one is the best out of them? Like you think they did?
Well, maybe not the whole like series, but of the last three they came out with, yeah, this one I like the missions the best.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Yeah, I looked into this game. I saw more like the controversy between like the PlayStation 5 version or like the I feel like every time that they release a third party game, PlayStation fans and Xbox fans are just kind of like back and forth with each other as far as like which one looks better. It's like this is a third party game. Like it's just play the game.
Yeah, they fight over this one is 2 frames better on Xbox or whatever. Like yeah, they fight over like the most like stupid shit.
Yeah. So personally, I didn't play this game, but it does look pretty good. I can recognize a good game when I see one. What I did play though was Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Now this is a game that is an interesting thing because it was stuck in kind of like this. They were fighting for some kind of. There was some kind of issue going on with the rights of the music and some characters and everything like that. So this game was kind of just removed out of like every platform and everything. So I think a lot of fans were kind of waiting for this game to come back and everything. I personally am not a fan of beat 'em ups, like of the style of like these arcade type of games and everything. But I actually love Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Like it's like one of my favorite comics of all time. I also like the movie quite a bit. So seeing it in like a movie way or in like a video game way, I feel like it feels pretty good. It's a pretty fun game. I wouldn't say it's like a game of the year contender or anything like that, but it's definitely a fun beat 'em up game. Like what it's made for, it's pretty well made, I think. It also has some pretty kick-ass music, definitely. Also, thank everybody over here in the chat for coming in. I appreciate you guys dropping by. If you guys could drop a like on the video, that'll be great. Also, check out Devil May Pie's channel. It's in the description down below if you want to check it out. So the next game in January that I checked out was actually a game called The Medium. I don't know if you guys have seen or heard about this game. It was teased as this kind of like spiritual successor to games like Resident Evil, Silent Hill type of game. But it does definitely have its own kind of juice. Like, it's definitely its own kind of game. I think my issue with this game, oddly enough, was that it had the third... I don't know what it's... Resident Evil games used to be like that, where it has like they're stuck in a specific camera angle. It's like a fixed camera angle.
Fixed camera, yeah.
And I never been a fan of them. Mm. It's very surprisingly frustrating the way that that those game plays. And this game for like a 2021 game with fixed camera angles just doesn't do it for me. Unfortunately, never been a fan of it. And even as a huge fan of Resident Evil, I hate fixed camera angles. But this game makes it in a very artistic kind of way. Like the way that they try to do certain puzzle aspects or certain aspects within the story are based on the fixed camera angle. So, like, although I personally didn't find it, like, enjoyable, I still feel like it fit really well with the story. And the game is very impressive, although it ran like crap on my PC. I have a 1080i, and it was still like crapping up. Like it kept crashing. It had like a bunch of issues and everything. It was just struggling. It's the game is not well optimized. I heard they kind of went back and fixed it. I think it's a good game, but I think it's going to be re-released for the PS5, you were saying?
Yeah, it's in September. It's going to be, I don't think it's $60, but I think even at $50, you say it might be a little bit high, right? Maybe wait on a sale on this one.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good indie game, and that's what a lot of people don't realize. This is also one of those indie games. It's not a AAA. Despite what was a lot of those Xbox fanboys may tell you, this is just an indie game. It was published to quote unquote by Xbox, but it's not. It's not Xbox exclusive game, you know, AAA quality. It does look pretty good for what it is, but it's definitely by no any means like not a AAA game. So we're gonna go into February. I think, did you have any particular games in February that stuck out to you?
I'm getting my dates mixed up. I don't know if it's in late January or early February because I got a review copy. He's 9, Monster Knox.
I was literally about to ask if you played that.
Okay, yeah, I got to review that on the channel. Only my second East game. I don't know if you need to bring up clips for that, but
I did. I got it. Yeah. Right here.
Just recently came out on Switch and PC. Even though I don't really recommend you play it on Switch. some performance issues here and there, but still overall a decent port. But yeah. Lots of fun. I'm still new to the series. I only played East 8. I like this one more. I think the story was more better, which that's not something the series is really known for. It is its great story. It's just pretty much just a kind of action, you know, RPG kind of like adventure kind of game. Yeah, but this one got a really cool cast. I hate... Is it a lazy comparison to call these guys similar to like a certain... series starts with a P.
You know what?
Been beat to death. I don't want to be like a certain gaming website, but you can draw similarities to the cast.
Yeah.
Maybe because of their design, like a Phantom Thief kind of look, but that's about where the comparison ends. But yeah, highly recommend it. Even if you never played a game in the East series before.
Definitely.
Super fun.
They're great games. I'll say that what they do with these games is they've been out for, like, obviously this is East 9, but they're always had their own specific way to do games. Like, these games are very much unique on itself. Like, if you think of, like, a anime hack and slash game, like, in, like, a poor man's way of describing this game, that's pretty much what it is. It's a cool hack and slash anime game. None of them are particularly, I wouldn't say that they stick out in like storytelling or anything like that, but they're fun games. They're just really fun anime games. So I think like, I never been a fan of like the games as far as like, oh my God, these games are, a masterpiece on any level, but they're fun games. They're really, really fun. This is definitely one of those kind of weight games, but they go on sale pretty often. I've seen this particular game on sale already a few times. So if it goes below $40, I think it's a good price for it. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely where they pick up a good length too. I say about 30, 40 hours. Lots of, different side quests you can do and cool DLC. Music, I mean, Falcom, like, they don't make any bad music at all. Like, just like kick ass, like, metal and like, so yeah, if
Why
you're a
not?
JRPG fan, you owe it to yourself to play any game in the E series, really. They're all pretty standalone. Unlike Trails, it's not an overarching story. It's like just pick one and you're good to go. They're all like kind of like in their own standalone stories for
Yeah,
each
for
game.
sure. They do have their own cast, their own story. I don't even know if they're in the same world either, because every time that you save the world in this game,
Yeah, you're the
not a spoiler here, but that's pretty much what you do. You're always the group of heroes saving the
Yeah, that's
world.
typical JRPG storyline. Always, killing God or saving the world, right? Or finding the lost cat.
Definitely. Okay, so the next game is actually a game that you have played. I have not played this game, but I played the first one. That's gonna be Little Nightmares 2.
One I played the first game recently as well, and I played them back to back. Really good. Short, just like the first one, but much creepier enemies, a little bit more comp. They actually added some sort of combat in this one, and we'll talk about more about horror and scary moments when we get to RE Village. But in this game, in Little Nightmares 2, there's one section in particular. You're in this like hospital, and there's like these mannequins, and they move in the dark. So you have this flashlight, and they stop moving. You point it to them, but then you start going the other way. They start like coming to kill you. So like that's one of the most like scary parts in any game in recent memory. So if you like horror games, more of an indie puzzle platform, but super creepy like enemies. There's this like lady with a long neck, like it's yeah, it kind of mess with you a lot. So I highly recommend you check both these games out.
Right on. It's a those are great games. I actually haven't played a second one yet. To me, that's kind of those wait and see kind of games. But I played the first one. It is really, really good. The atmosphere, the style of the character, like the game itself, has like a this creepy vibe. But it also makes it feel like anybody can play this game, like a young person can play this game, or like an older person. But you get to certain parts and it's extremely scary, like even just atmospheric wise, or like the music, the style of it. It's good horror. It's not scary per se, but the build up and everything about it is very like horror, creepy kind of thing. And even the boss designs is really cool. Like they did a pretty good job on kind of getting something ready in this game. Definitely cool stuff.
These games have really cool lore. If you like stuff like if you like watching like me like Demon Souls, Bloodborne, like lore videos, like a lot of stuff, they tell you through the environment. Like they don't a lot of stuff is not really spoken. You just kind of read the room and look around and yeah, just I like that kind, sometimes I like that kind of storytelling, just like going and like reading stuff about like the world and all these like weird creatures and stuff like that.
Definitely. It's a great game. If you haven't already checked them out, they're also on sale very often. Like I've seen them on sale very cheap. I think the first one I saw it for even like $5. So if you don't want to spend too much, and they're like he said, they're not also expensive. I'm not long. They're not long. They're like maybe like 10 hours long.
Less like 5 or 6,
Yeah,
actually.
I spent like 10 hours because I played it with my sister, the first one, and she's not a gamer. She's just a regular person, so she's just not good at puzzles. So I just like watch her and like she likes be stuck for like 10 minutes, and I'm like, okay, do you need help figuring out? Like I'll be figuring out, and I'm like I'll play with her. It was like a very personal game because I never streamed it or anything like that. I literally just played with her and just spent time with her. She oddly enough was the one that was like, "Oh, can we play this game? It looks pretty cool." So, yeah, I actually don't regret playing this game at all. It's definitely a cool game. Okay, so Nioh 2 also got a complete HD remaster edition. Do you play those games at all?
Big pile of shame. I mean, I played the demo of the first game, but no, never really played through either Neo games. As far as like Souls kind of like games, that's probably on the top of my list. I've been burned on a couple of them before. I didn't really like a lot of like Souls copy kind of games. I just like the From Software games. Like I didn't like what you call it, Code Vein and like stuff like that. You know, didn't really do it for me, but this one looks really good. I like Team Ninja games, so
honestly, they do a lot of different stuff. Interesting, because the difference between something like the games that you mentioned and this one is Ninja already does games like this. Like that, they already like Koei Tecmo, who publishes them, also has like a good history as far as like doing hack and slash game and everything with the Warriors games and everything. So both publisher and developer have a good history of like hack and slash type of games and everything. And I wouldn't say these games are super hard. Like they're not really hard games. Like I know they're compared to games like the Souls games and everything, but these games are like pure adrenaline fun kind of thing. It's like you are super overpowered. At some point you get super overpowered. You get like spirits and like the different weapons that you can get. It's just different from something like Bloodborne or even the game that this was compared to, which is the Sekiro game. In Sekiro you are an assassin, but in this game you're anything you want. You can get anything from a wooden staff to a dual katana to access to pretty much any Asian weapon that you can think of. This game will allow you to have some kind of version of it. So it's very unique. It's a very unique game. It sits at a really weird place. Again, this one has a lot more freedom when it comes to like the hack and slash aspects, the powers, because you get a ton of powers. Again, this game is not stingy when it comes to like superpowers. And I mean, you're literally fighting evil spirits and demons and that kind of stuff. So instead of just going like hack and slash and like turning around and shooting them, you're literally like super powered, you know, with like giant spirits and, you know, that kind of stuff. So although I know it's compared to the Souls games, this is definitely more of a, like a very open with the spirits and the attacks that you can do, and it's very flexible. I will dare to say it is more flexible than the Souls games when it comes to like how you want to approach your character and everything. Definitely a cool game. So I guess the next one is a big one for a lot of people that are fans of the channel here. It's obviously Persona 5 Strikers. that game, and I know we waited for this game forever in the channel. And pretty much everybody that I know here, it's a fan of Persona. So, honestly, it's really weird for me because I played a game last year on 2020. Or like, 2020, that's when it came out in Japan. So I played it back to back. Like I played Rojo and then I played Strikers, right next to each other. And I didn't have that that whole year of wait that a lot of people did here in the West. So kind of going back that far to me is like a lot. It was like, it's like a long, long time ago. But they're great games. It's fantastic. I think a lot of people that was waiting for Persona 5 Strikers, I think got what they wanted to. I didn't really hear a lot of people having like negative things to say about the game. What about you? What was your experience with the game?
Got my Steelbook copy right here. thoroughly impressed. I was actually worried because I didn't. I thought it was going to be more like a, because it's made by, you know, like Koei Tecmo and all of them, or in conjunction developed with them. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be like a just another like Musou game. Here's Persona characters, just kill a bunch of enemies on screen. And in the end, it became more like of a Persona game than the former. So it's like an actual. It's like a Persona to P5, you know, which I didn't expect that at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I love about it.
I totally agree with you. It's interesting as a fan of the series, because I was afraid a lot. I was super afraid of the game when it comes to like the other aspect of the Koei Tecmo games, the Warriors games. Never been a fan of them. So I was worried about it. I was like, oh shit, you know, I'm not going to enjoy these games. You know, I was really worried about it. But I played it, and it has more of the Persona DNA than you will imagine. I laughed about the reviews because I will see people saying things like, "Oh, it's a Persona game," or "It feels like Persona," or something like that. I remember seeing those articles, and I was like, Well, yeah, of course, it feels like Persona. It's literally Persona 5 Strikers.
They actually did that with Persona?
Yeah. Nope. I saw an article by somebody that said something like that. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a Persona game. So, of course, it's going to feel like Persona, but it got me dying that somebody actually made an article like that. It's just like, oh, gosh, why would you do that?
Giving them Persona vibes.
You're asking to be bullied in the internet.
Super fun. Like, I really like the action combat. Not saying I want that to replace the series forward, but I do like that style for this game. Really fitting. And the dungeon designs set up very similar to P5 with the palaces and the bosses at the end of them. And just voice acting was great. Like, just love hanging out with these guys again, like, you know, in the future. That's this is what I want more from Persona spinoffs. Dare I say, probably one of my favorites. I mean, I don't mind the dancing games, they're cool, and PQ and all that, but like I like these kind of spinoffs, like, for them to be like this if they're gonna do more. So
absolutely, I totally agree with you. I hope to see if we get anything else down the line. I know the spinoff on this vein and everything like that, I don't know how feasible that is for them to do. I don't know how long it took them to make this game either. But it was definitely a fun game. I will be open if they do another one of these or something like that. It's definitely a cool game. So from here on, I don't have anything on February. Do you have anything on February that you can think of?
So I got to pull up the list here. I think that was it. I was playing this and East 9 pretty close to.
Oh, Twitter, yeah, so that was the. What about Super Mario 3D World?
No, I do want to pick that up. I mean, it's not like it's going to go on sale. I should just pick it up whenever, right? But yeah, right, I do want to play that at some point when I'm in a mood for a Mario game. I did like the one that one on the Wii U. So
I hope nobody feels like I'm skipping Bravely Default. I haven't actually played it yet, so.
That's on my list.
It's on my bucket list, but I always have like 3 or 4 games that I just kind of leave until the end of the year. Not on the end, but like much like later on. Like not it's not a must play right away, but it's I can play it at any time. You know, this game is a game I will be able to play later on, right? So sure. Definitely something that I can play a later time. Pretty cool game, but I can wait for it later. So March we have Harvest Moon 1 World. I've never been a fan of those kind of games, but although I hear wonderful things about the Harvest Moon games. The next game that I can think of is the Yakuza game that came out on the PC.
Yakuza Like a Dragon?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, not PC. PlayStation 5 remaster or whatever. You check.
Oh, you mean the collection or like
HD PS5 edition of the game.
Oh, the one PS5 didn't get, but everyone else got last year.
Yeah. So I guess Xbox had an exclusivity deal only for the actual like big new generation console. Not for the entire game, just for that. This is one of the stupidest exclusivity deals I've seen. You're only exclusive for the Series X. it's dumb, but it's a great game. I just wanted to throw it out there. It's a fantastic game. You haven't played it already. What was up in March?
I think March I was playing Backlog, so I don't think I picked anything up in March. I'm looking at the list here. I think... Yeah.
Crash Bandicoot 4. I didn't play it.
That's a port.
Yeah, that's right? A port. Yeah. Samurai Showdown, also a port.
I think we can skip March from what it looks like. I don't think I see anything standing out to me. I didn't play anything that came out that month.
Monster Hunter Rise. Oh, yeah. That game came out.
I didn't play that one.
I played Monster Hunter, but I'm like on and off with the series. I'm not like, I don't play all of them or anything like that. And the Kingdom Hearts HD remaster on PC, which also performed poorly, I believe.
Yeah. Weren't they like $50 each on the
Epic Games? Were like super expensive each, and then they weren't even well optimized or anything like that. Alrighty, so April, what do we have in April here? I'm really scrolling down here as we go. Oh yeah, of course, Legend of Heroes Trails Cold Steel 4, which came out on Switch and PC. I guess that's the re-release.
PS4 last year, and Switch and PC just got their copies this year.
So again, one of those other re-releases were there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. Nier Replicant.
There you go.
Finally something, right?
Yeah.
What do we got here going on? Yeah, Nier Replicant's good.
Really good. One of my favorites, remastered of, you know, the 2010 game, cult classic. This game probably would never see the light of day if it wasn't for Automata and its popularity. So, you know, Nier series is pretty much a household name now. We got a mobile game that just came out. So, yeah, really good. It's like a, they don't like to call it a remaster because they did more, but it's not a remake either. It's kind of like in between. So it's like Nier 1.5, pretty much.
Definitely. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the biggest lies about this game is calling it a remaster, because it's a more than a remaster. It's a whole lot more than a remaster. Because if you look at this compared to something like the Shin Megami Tensei 3 remaster, which I'm going to talk about later on, this game is like so much better in like quality-wise. They really just did a lot of good stuff. Like I will even dare to call this kind of like more of a remake than a remaster.
I'd say it's closer to that. They changed up so much.
They did change a lot, and I mean, like, just look at the PlayStation 3 game and then look at this one, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Not only that, but this is one version of the game that we never got in the West. So for us, it was like a new experience, right? Because we got the father, or was that father? What we call it, the older guy version of it?
So it's kind of like a Pokemon Red and Blue situation, kind of. When it came out in Japan, we had Nier Replicant and Gestalt on the 360, and PS3 got different versions. In North America, we got the same version for both, so we got the Gestalt version. So we play as the older Daddy Nier, or as I like to call it, Zaddy Nier. but this is the first time we get to play as the younger, the big brother dynamic. So really cool perspective. One I've been wanting to like to see for years, and glad they brought this one over. And I think I like this one more. I think with and especially interaction with Kaine, with the daddy one, he feels awkward.
He kind of feel awkward, right? At least in this one, they kind of feel in that same age range. It doesn't feel like super unnatural. Also, I want to say personally, I like this one more because at least there are so. "Quote unquote humans," the other Nier Automata just being robots from the get go. Just kind of, it's kind of hard for me to like find like a point of like connection. Although it's more like like humans are dead and we're kind of doing our own job here, opposed to humans. And I'm using quotations, but I shouldn't. That's a spoiler. kind of like. Seeing that perspective and just kind of like a more like personal story, like the whole I'm doing all this to save my sister kind of thing, just feels like a more relatable story. Although this is nothing about this is a relatable story, but the plot just feels like more like something that you could get behind. I think at least from the get go. Although the cast is also very interesting, like all of them and the just from everything that. You play. It's a great game. It's definitely. I'll say this is definitely one of the games that's probably gonna hit Game of the Year for me this year, my top 10 games. I don't know where in the top 10, but it's definitely gonna sit somewhere there.
Can I have a weird proclamation with that?
Yeah,
I have to disqualify it for my personal Game of the Year. I can't do it because it's like I played it before, you know, and it's like one of my favorites. It's like last year, I cannot pick P5 Royal as Game of the Year, you know, even though they added some new stuff. But it's like I played this. It's already in like my, you know, top 20 games or whatever. So like it's like if I was a judge at a talent show and my kid was in it, of course, I'm going to pick my own kid. So for that, I have to disqualify it. It's already my all-time favorite. So I can't considered for my game of the year, but like I totally understand if people want to put it up there. It's because a lot of people never played it, and you know they added so much
stuff. That's why I'm adding it here, because I never actually played the original one. Mm-hmm. I know of it, like I know a lot about the lore and everything like that, but I never actually played it. It's kind of like JoJo for me, like JoJo Bizarre Adventure. If you ever seen the anime, I know a lot about it, but I never actually like sat down and watched the anime. I now just recently started, so it's like it's weird to go back on a series that you never played, but like you know a little about it. It's just kind of weird, but yeah, it's definitely a great game. I can see why you wouldn't like. For me, Strikers is probably gonna sit in like an honor kind of category. It's not really gonna be part of the
game. Because you played last year already.
Because I played it last year already and everything. So it's probably just gonna sit somewhere in like. Maybe I give it a 10th place, just kind of like, okay, you get to be in the games of the year, but really, like, I already played it last year, and it just kind of feel awkward of me to do that. So, what do we have next in these games? I'm kind of really seeing Pokemon Snap. I've never been a fan of those games. I don't feel like there's anything on them to actually qualify them as, like, gameplay.
I felt like people were really excited before it came out, and then it came out, like, then no one talked about it again, ever. Right? I don't know. I feel like there's, like, a lot of hype before it released. I think you might be muted, buddy. Unless I'm
muted. Oh, yeah, I'm muted. Yeah. I was muted there. I agree with you. I think it was one of those cases where I almost thought this was going to be, like, a second... what is those games with the little... The Villager and
Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be one of those cases where everybody was just gonna talk about it for months. But the game literally came out. I saw like three pictures on Twitter, and I never heard of it again. Yeah. That's kind of like my experience with it. Like I just saw like three people maybe talking about it, and never again. Alrighty, so. What's next here? I don't know what's next.
Are we still in April? Anything in April of note, or we can move on to May?
Yeah, I don't have anything on.
Yeah, pretty much Nier Replicant, Pokemon Snap. I guess MLB The Show if you're into the baseball games, but I don't play those. I think we can probably move on to.
Yeah, I don't have anything else. Let me. I'm kind of looking up to see what's next for here.
When are you Village come out? Is that
May? Oh, Returnal. Did you play that game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Was that in April? I keep missing. Yep, right, the last day of April. Returnal on PS5. One I was definitely, like, concerned about initially because of all the technical issues, like the crashes, like people, you know, save corruptions. On top of it already being a very difficult roguelike. So like, that's like a double combo. Like, I want to play this, but I'm going to wait. So I think I waited about a few weeks and I just caved and then picked it up and it's a great game. It's a hard game to recommend and it's hard to like sell to people unless they play it, but like it's probably the most on a gameplay level the most exhilarating, like especially on the PS5, has really good sound, wear headphones, haptic feedback, adaptive triggers, like very probably one of the best on the system. And just when you're like, you know, on the verge of death fighting these enemies and to lose so much progress, it's demoralizing, and the progression is not ideal, like you lose too much, but the gameplay, it's like solid.
It's good. Honestly, the bigger thing for me is I'm not into roguelikes, and I feel that's something that I need to mention. If you're not into roguelike games or like even any kind of difficulty games like Dark Souls or anything, this is not the Dark Souls of shooters or anything like that. But roguelikes are like that. Like they're made so you can progress, die. Like that's the whole gameplay loop of games of this sort of style. So when I saw like, oh, the Dark Souls of shooters, I was like, fuck you, IGN. Or I don't remember who it was that said that. I was like, you know what a roguelike is. Don't act like you don't. Or like, oh, of course, maybe they don't know what a roguelike is. But yeah, that was for me like the deal breaker. When I saw that it was a roguelike, I was like, I'm skipping this game. And I'm sad because, like you said, it looks really good. Like gameplay wise, it looks really fun. Everything about it, like graphical wise, it looks like a really kick-ass game. In fact, I had every intention of checking it out, but as soon as I saw that it was a roguelike, I was like, I'm not gonna be able to finish it. I'm gonna be honest. I'm just when it comes to like roguelikes and maybe some of the soul style type of games, if I don't get far enough, I kind of just drop it and never pick it up again.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm very new to the genre. I've just recently beat Hades as well, so like I'm very new to it, and I wasn't sure if I was gonna like it. I think it's destined to gonna go be on PS Plus at some point, and at that point, I say if you have a PS5, definitely check it out. My biggest like way to sell Returnal, like imagine going to like an amusement park, right? And it's full of like amazing rides and roller coasters, like some of the best, like all, and all of them are like that. And sometimes you get on a ride, you want to get back on, and few times you can get on right away and it's cool, but a lot of times you got to get on that long line, and waiting in that long line to get back to on that ride kind of sucks. So that's how I like compare it.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, definitely a great game. I think from what I've seen with everybody talking about it does look like a game that I will be interested on checking it out and everything. But also, I don't know, the gameplay loop just kind of gets me a little on the scare side. Alrighty, so now the moment that you've been waiting for, Resident Evil 8 Village. We're now in the month of May. A lot of things to say about this game, but you can start if you want.
We did a whole podcast dedicated to it, so we can like plug that if you want like more like talk like going full spoilers about stories and everything. So that's a good one to check out. It's probably still on your channel. But yeah, I was like really anticipating this. Resident Evil is one of my favorite franchises, and it's another main entry. And yeah, they Capcom, they knocked it out of park again. I liked it more than Seven. In a lot of ways, very a lot of similarities to other great RE titles, a lot of inspirations from Four, and the best like kind of like a best of all the games. And yeah, I mean, I've been itching to replay it. I still have it installed. I was hoping at E3 they announced like the DLC. I thought it was gonna come soon, but it looks like they're still working on it. But yeah, it's a great package. And yeah, if you're a Resident Evil fan, if you've been into the lore and the story, I think this one ties it all together really well. And yeah, definitely must play
Yeah,
for any
I
RE
totally
fan.
agree with you. I think what happened with this game is this game did everything that fans wanted for the series, but also more. Like, I feel like this is a good comeback to Resident Evil as a franchise because 7 was cool. It was a cool idea, but it was too far away from the rest of the series. Like, I really didn't know where it was gonna sit as far as like the lore and the characters and everything like that. Like, what the hell is going on in here? Like, a new character, new villain, new story. Like, everything was just like super new, and I didn't know where it was gonna sit. I was just like, okay, like 7 was good, and don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed a whole lot of the new engine and everything. But I really wanted to know like where this was gonna go from here as far as like a series and everything. And 8 really just did that so well. Like, it brought back a lot of the aspects of the Resident Evil series and everything while simultaneously giving you a brand new experience. Because it really did, you know, like just looking at the castle and the different areas that you visit, this game really felt like the natural evolution of the Resident Evil series. I feel like he just did a good job. Personally, I think this is definitely gonna be one of those Game of the Years here.
I'm
And
fine.
yeah, you want to play? About that, and it just looks like a game that like, I mean, after playing it like 3 or 4 times, it's still a game that I want to play it again. Like, I think
Yeah,
I don't know how many
I'm
playthroughs
itching
you
to
did.
replay it. Yeah,
Yeah.
there's so many weapons I haven't tried yet. I want to like do another
Oh,
run.
absolutely. Like, I saw, like, I didn't know, but there's a lightsaber that you can unlock in the game. Like, a freaking lightsaber. I definitely like that. It's crazy. Yeah. This is that part of the Resident Evil crazy fun. I think that it just did such a good job. Also, Capcom, give everybody that RE engine. Oh my god, I think like they make one of the best looking games of like the generation already. The re-engine has been used in Devil May Cry as well, and it just it knocks it out of the park. Every time I see everything with it, I'm like, holy shit, how they do it?
Even we mentioned earlier, we weren't really into Monster Hunter Rise, but that's also on the RE engine, and for an underpowered hardware on the Switch. For them to run that game like pretty flawlessly, they have a really good engine on their hands. And all the designs, character looks great, environment. I know they have a PS4 version, but I think you'll be doing yourself a disservice if you played RE Village on the older gen hardware. If you haven't yet, I would wait. Unless you have a high-end PC, definitely play it on like the best hardware possible.
But absolutely. Definitely a game to check out if you already haven't. But I really feel like everybody that is already a fan of Resident Evil check the game. But even if you're not a fan, I think like this is a really good gateway to getting into the games. But definitely play at least 7 before playing this game, because this is very much a sequel game, which is crazy, because when you play most of Resident Evil, like 1 through 5, most of them are individual games with individual experiences. 8 is definitely a game that you kind of have to have some kind of background story. Because it doesn't really, like, even the plot twist at the end, it means nothing to you if you don't know the background of the games or anything. So definitely check the other game if you're interested in the series. Great games, definitely, all around. I think that they do a good job as far as checking that out and everything.
Yep, for sure.
So any games, I'm still kind of pulling up and seeing what I can find here. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, but this is just a DLC, I think. Before we leave, Famicom Detective Club, did you play those games?
No, I did not. It's on my radar. I like me some visual novels, but I think that was a digital-only release.
Yeah, so. It was not. I was waiting for, I heard good things about these games, but I am also waiting for like a re-release or anything like that.
We have one other big one that month. I think you probably want to introduce that one.
Shin Megami Tensei 3 HD Remaster. What can I say about this without possibly, you know, continue to be the death horse there, right? It's a great game. Obviously, I think everybody that is a fan of Shin Megami Tensei already knows plenty of this. I think I want to talk more about the HD Remaster aspect of it.
Yeah,
because I think that's what does some interesting stuff. Not particularly good, but definitely interesting. So I'll be frank here. It's not the best remaster they ever done. But also, they don't do a lot of remasters. Like, if you think about the entire library of games, they only done through remasters a few times. Because everything that is like a re-release, like they do the PlayStation Portable, Persona 1 and 2 re-releases, and even like the Persona 5 Royal or the Persona 3 Portable or Golden, those games aren't necessarily like remasters, they're just re-releases. But this is kind of like the first time really taking a shot of an actual remaster port with like HD graphics and using a new engine for it and everything. And although they tried, I just want to give them the gold sort of. You tried, but it wasn't really a good port overall. I think that even things like the music or even like graphical issues that the Switch version had, when he was just dropping frames during attacks, or like the first time that you see Matador, for example, on the Switch, it just kind of freezes and it starts like dropping frames and being weird. That kind of stuff, like, this is a PlayStation 2 game. Like, it shouldn't, like, it by no means should it be happening anytime. Like, I understand the Switch is underpowered, but also, this is the Switch, you know, like, this is a new generation console. Like, it should be able to play a PlayStation 2 game at full capacity without any hitches or anything. And even seeing something like that, it really makes me feel like yeah, you could have probably put a little bit more effort into this remaster. It's a good game. It's a fantastic game. And you definitely should check it out if you haven't already. But I do think they could have done a little bit better on the remaster side of things.
Yeah, for sure. As far as quality, like Nocturne's already a certified classic, you know, in SMT history and JRPGs in general. So for that, you should play it. But yeah, with this port, they definitely could have done more polishing. And for the price they were asking, which I didn't mind paying, but they could have added like so much more. Music, I don't know, the compressed audio, pretty bad. I do like the voice acting. I commend them for that. I didn't expect that for them to add it. So that was a nice addition.
Definitely a nice bonus.
Yeah.
And not only that, but this is the first Mega 10 game that was translated on other languages besides English. So in that aspect as well, I do want to commend the fact that a lot of people never got a chance to play this game on, say, Spanish or German or French or something like that. But it's also like translating all these other languages. So I'm going to give them props for that. I don't think that it was like super well done, but at least the dub, translations, that kind of stuff, that goes a long way for fans that never been able to play the game. So even on that end, I'll say it's good for you. Like that's a good thing to do, right? So I definitely do want to say that that's awesome. I appreciate them for that.
Before we move on, if you were to have a wish, if they're to try this again, this kind of like this remaster, but maybe a little better, well done. Which Mega 10 title would you like? For me, I want a DDS collection.
Oh, DDS collection. Those are great games. Yeah, I want
them to give that treatment like this, but a little bit better. they'll justify the $60 if we get both games.
Actually. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I feel like that was interesting. Personally, I would like them to give it a try at Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Wow, okay, on Switch?
But I don't know how they're going to do it because that would require like some actual working around the different...
Yeah, it's Atlas. They probably won't try that hard to do that.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's going to be a hard one, right? Because it's a 3DS game and they're really going to have to put some work into it. And I don't know if they're going to be willing to put the money into reworking a 7-6-year-old game now. It just depends on like how much money and effort they want to put into it. Honestly, the right answer will be the DDS games. I think they just make sense. And they're already in the same engine as well, right?
Yeah, they already have the blueprint, you know, so they can refine it.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Sure. Personally, that would be a good option, I think. Anybody in the comments, you guys can drop down and tell me also what kind of games you want to see. I feel like anything is fair game. It doesn't really have to be anything.
Yeah, Rido games could be a thing. Pretty much the whole PS2 catalog. Persona, we'll wait on that for September. We'll see what they do with that whole
universe. Definitely. Absolutely. There's definitely a lot in that they are planning to do for that. But I don't know. I would like to see more SMT games. I think that there's a lot of games that people haven't played that they deserve to play, I think. Alrighty, so let's see what we got here. We got a lot going on here, I think. June. Oh, I don't know. June wasn't super busy for me, I don't think. No More Heroes were re-released on PC. Great games if you haven't played them already. Oh, yeah, of course. How can I forget Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate?
For sure.
Did you play that as well?
Yep, I played the DLC and the entire game again on the PS5.
Yeah. Alrighty, I do have a $5 super chat from Demicro. Yeah. Says, it'd be awesome if Atlus made a second studio only for ports. We could get some ports regularly. You know what? I think you're hitting right in the money. I think like it's about time that they drop some money into ports. Like you said, doing a studio that just focuses on ports and that kind of stuff, that will be the way to go. Because let's be honest here, sometimes to do some stuff and you're like, yo, you probably need to drop some more money on this. Because at this point, no port they have done is actually done by them. They're always outsourced. And let's be honest, nothing that we've seen so far for PC has been particularly impressive. Like, they all had issues of some sort. I think Strikers had issues. Nocturne has issues. Catherine Classic has issues. That's the only three that I played. I don't know if they're... Oh, Golden also has issues, and I played that one as well. Yeah, so everything...
For PS2 games to have trouble on a...
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I was literally streaming this, and I'm like, oh, holy shit, I hope this game doesn't crash, because if it crashes, I'm going to have to start a whole dungeon again. Because, you know, in Golden, you can't really save mid-dungeon. Like, you have to go outside and, and go and save and everything like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I really want him to do a good shot, an actual first shot into it. So, we got Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate. What you think about it?
I thought it was really cool. I think it's like, I really like Yuffie, gameplay-wise, probably my favorite, along with Tifa. I think, like, it's the most, the more refined version of the combat we already played from the game last year. I don't know why it has to be PS5 only, but I... just from the different particle effects and like some of the stuff that's going on, really cool. I don't want to get into spoilers because I know a lot of people haven't played it yet, but I really like what they're hinting at when it comes to the next part of FF7 Remake, whenever we get that, maybe another 5 years. But yeah, it has me excited for the next part. And if you already love FF7 Remake, definitely pick up, try the DLC. Don't play the whole game again because they didn't add enough. I played the whole game again. It's like it's the same game. It's prettier.
Yeah,
it's a very bare bones package. So I hope you didn't pay. Get the free upgrade. Some people bought a $70 just to have a PS5 case on their shelf. If you already have the game, just get the free upgrade. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, you're good. You know, a lot of people are giving PlayStation shit for like charging $10 for the upgrade or whatever. But yo, real talk though, they did this even worse. Because not only do you have to buy the upgrade separately, you also have to get the DLC separately, right? It's like $20 DLC, this one right here. And I don't know, it's a great game. I feel like it's not worth $20. I'll be honest here. I think like this is a good $10 DLC. It's like 3 hours of gameplay. I legit think it took me 3 hours to beat. So I loved it. I think Yuffie's a great character, and because if I wasn't a fan of her, I wouldn't have not even paid any $20 for it. But it's not worth the $20. I personally believe that. Yeah, if you believe that, that's fine. I just don't think that the $20 is appropriate for 3 hours, especially when you look at some DLC like Neo, for example, which we were talking about earlier. Neo 2 has some hefty DLC, but they add like a whole other campaign to play through, or The Witcher 3, for example.
Yeah, those are great.
Each of their DLC should they be like $20-$30, but it's also like 30 to 40 hours of gameplay each separately. So they're great. I think that it's a good stuff, but I don't know how I feel about the PlayStation 5 only thing that they did, and then the other part. So personally, I think that this could have easily been a PS4 title or a PC title as well.
Still waiting, right?
Alrighty, so the next game that I played is actually Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. It's the first official PlayStation 5 exclusive game that I played.
Exclusive,
right? The actual, like, exclusive. And I'm still playing through it. Like, I never been a fan, before we even, like, start here, never been a fan of Ratchet & Clank. In fact, I only played this because my girlfriend is a fan, and she was like, oh, we should play the new one. And I was like, well, I'm not really buying it. She was like, well, I'll buy it then. So she bought it, and we played it together. I streamed a bit of it. And honestly, this game surprised me. Maybe because I never played a Ratchet & Clank game or anything. But from like the gameplay perspective to like the graphics, the haptic feedback on the controller, the 3D sound, like, this game was made for the PS5. Anything about it can justify the PlayStation 5 exclusivity. The fact that you can switch between different sections of the game in like with a click of a button, you know, when you literally like it's like I think it's L1 and it literally drags you into another dimension and it's you're literally on another map and everything. That's crazy technology. Like I cannot imagine like 10 years ago, like even 5 years ago, like imagine like a game doing something like this. It's a great game. I definitely say if you're a fan of like Insomniac as a publisher, or I'm not. Oh, they're not a publisher anymore. They're just a studio now. I think they got bought out by Sony, right?
Yeah, Sony bought them.
Yeah, Sony bought them out. It's a great game. I definitely like as somebody that never played the games or anything like that. I think they did some pretty good stuff. Again, the graphics impressed me, and the technology behind some of the stuff that they do is pretty impressive. Even if you're not a fan. If they even shit on Cyberpunk 2077, there's this scene where this it's literally Cyberpunk. It's like
that city, it's basically like a Cyberpunk
city. Yeah, it's a Cyberpunk city, but they do a shot by shot. I think somebody did online a shot by shot comparison between this and Cyberpunk, and like they're literally like the same thing. But obviously, this just blows it out of the water with like technology and everything around it and everything. It's just funny. I think it's a funny thing that they did. What's next here? I don't know. It's June, right? We're still in June here.
Yeah.
Mario Golf. You play that? Mario Golf? No?
No.
No, okay. The next one for me is going to be Scarlet Nexus. Did you play that
one? I'm playing it right now, actually.
You're playing it right now. Even better. We get your raw thoughts and feelings right now.
So I'm playing through Kasane's route first. They're dual protagonists. I'm almost at the end, like the last couple chapters. Really fun game, cool. Probably my favorite part is the combat. I don't think the demo really sold it too well. Like the demo is kind of overwhelming. When you actually play the game, the tutorial it's like spaced out much better. Mm-hmm. And like the more you play, you get a grasp of like the psychokinesis or whatever powers and like the all the combos you can do and unlocking like the skill tree and everything. And just the variety and stuff you can do. I'm at the point in the game now where I can like do multiple of the abilities. I can like slow down time. Then I can use this fire ability. Then I can like go invisible. So like, it's really cool. Story, I'm still waiting on the payoff. It's interesting, but I don't know if it's like amazing yet, but the characters are really cool. I really like the characters.
So to my thoughts on that is, it's a great game. I think they did a lot of interesting, cool stuff. Gameplay-wise, I mean, it's Bandai Namco. They got the team that makes both the Tales of games and the team behind Code Vein. So combining like two different studios that do things very different was a smart move. Like they did a fantastic job as far as like selling this game. Personally, I think they did a lot of cool stuff. Unfortunately, the story is just, it's a really anime storyline. And the thing is, they made this game in conjunction with a anime. So like they made the anime right next to the storyline. Unfortunately, the game is a 12 episode anime and it really feels really anime. Like a lot of the stuff that you play, you're like, this is definitely like an anime game. And it's because it is. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Gameplay wise, that's what is really impressive. They did, I think, I'll say some things better than Code Vein. It's definitely a more fluid game, I think, with the different abilities that you get to choose from.
Yeah.
Every mission that you do, you get different characters to get from the roster, and you get two storylines. You get to play as the guy or the girl. Each one of them has their own storyline, although they are kind of like almost the same. They play in conjunction to each other.
I've heard in New Game Plus, you carry over stuff so it goes faster, right?
Is that true? So it does kind of play off of each other a lot. And the funny thing is, this is not the same character of male and female. This is separate characters with separate storylines. Like, main protagonist male appears on the storyline for the female, and vice versa. So there are two different characters with the different storyline. It's not like
Mass Effect,
where you play as Commander Shepard, or where it's a guy or a girl. You have romantic options and so on, but it's particularly the same storylines. No, this is actually like two separate games with the price of one, and I love that. That's worth the $60 price of admission, rather. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of replayability. It has its own style, which I'm loving that it has its own style. It doesn't feel like a Tales of game. It doesn't feel like a Code Vein game. It doesn't feel like a Persona game, although I did see a comparison. I saw a comparison somewhere online, but I'll be damned, this game just has some pretty good stuff. Is it a Game of the Year game? No, it's not, but it's a great game. It's a fun game for me at least. It's a fun game, you know. It's just a game that I enjoy.
Probably the best 8 out of 10 game you're probably gonna play all year.
it's a strong 8 out of 10. that's a good way to put it. Yeah, definitely a good game, but you know, if you're into those kind of games, you're gonna have a good time. So Legend of Mana on June 24th. Did you play that game?
No, I did not.
You did not. Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I played that last year.
Yeah, that was last year.
Destroy All Humans.
On PS2, I played it. haven't played this one.
Yeah, this Gaia 6. I got this is the game that I was telling you that NIST gave me the review code for. Okay. Like 3 weeks later, I was like, this. I love you and thank you for the review code, but you also gave it to me 3 weeks later. Like, nobody cares about this game anymore. But give a chance to the Disgaea games. They're fantastic games. I feel like they're worth the money, but you definitely have to be in the mood for those kind of games.
For sure.
They are tactical RPGs, but they're also, they rely on a comedic aspect. They're really funny games. They're really comical. Like, everything about them are just really funny games. Oh, Doki Doki Literature Club Plus. You play the game?
I'm waiting on the physical copy. I got, like, the mini special edition thing. It got delayed to September, so I really want to play it. I've never played it before. Mm-hmm. I don't know this twist, so don't spoil it for me. I just know it's crazy. So I like my visual novel, so I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, this one definitely plays off the expectations of different visual novels and everything. Great game. So Wise 9, we just talked about it. Oh, yes. A Plague Tale of Innocence. You played that game, right?
Yeah, it was, I don't know what year it initially came out. It got a PS5 update. It was on free for PS Plus, and I tried it out. Really interesting game. Super gross. If you hate rats or like, just
that
like,
kind of oh my God. Yeah, right.
And the, like, yeah, it's like,
The craziest scenes, I think, it's the very beginning of the game. It's this game does a lot of things very interestingly. I think this game is one of those games where it plays off with what you see on the trailer and everything like that. But also, there's gameplay, there's stuff that this game does differently from other games. It's a gross game, though. Unfortunately, like the whole rat thing. I'm putting some gameplay here if you guys want to check it out.
But really interesting. Like, where I really like the lore and the world building of that time period. Really cool. I like the science behind the. It's so fake and like fantasy like, but like I like the science of the weapons, the weaponizing rats and all that. That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great game. Definitely check it out if you haven't already. But to you and many others, the rat thing may be a deal breaker. I'll be frank, it is at times extremely, it's not just the rats. It's like, it's gory as hell. Like, you don't only see the rats, you see the rats eating people alive. Like, it's graphical front and center. That there are points where when you see some things happening, you're like, holy shit. The amount of blood and gore and things that you see in this game is insane. But also, it's a graphical masterpiece for it's a game that's like 3 years old already.
Yeah, and I think it's like 2019 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And also, this is an indie game. This is not a AAA game. So the fact that somebody's able to achieve this kind of quality on an indie game is crazy. I'm actually bringing out one of the earlier areas where you really see all the rats just coming up.
Yeah. super gross.
Yeah, it's super gross. It's one of the scenes where I was like, holy shit. Definitely check it out if you haven't. I do have some gameplay in the channel if you want to look it up. Just type a Plague Tale Innocence. You'll definitely see it. Like literally seeing a scene where they're just getting attacked by a bunch of rats and everything.
Sequel just got announced, coming soon.
The sequel is announced and it should be coming out at some point. Definitely a cool thing to check out, but it's extremely gross. Look at the dead body right there. Oof, disgusting. What do we got next here in the?
King Narkami brought up a good point in chat. Game we skipped over, the masterpiece known as Balan Wonderland.
Oh, that masterpiece, of course. How could we dare to forget about this game? I'll be honest, other than what I heard about it, I have not tried it out. Did you give it a try?
I don't even know where to begin. Like, I think I'll have to wait for like a freebie with that one. Like, I don't think they could give this one away. Have you seen the meme of like the control layout? It's like they showed the control layout and every button does the same thing. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect with this one. Was it Yuji Naka, the creator? I don't really play his game, so I don't really have a.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them. I only heard about this because of the memes and everything. But yeah, I can't really say much, really, to be honest, as far as like the thing or anything. I don't know. Just Biomutant. Oh yeah, that game.
I didn't get that one either. I might try it out. It looks cool.
Okay, so I fun story time. I pre-ordered this game, Biomutant, when it was announced a while ago, and they messed up. They really, really messed up, and they sent me the collector's edition for the game for $60.
Wait,
in Amazon, so. I got the collector's edition from it. It's an okay game. It's also an indie game. It's an indie game that was published by THQ Nordic. But because it's THQ Nordic, I think people expected a AAA game. You know, THQ Nordic is a big publisher. So I think they expected some kind of big AAA game and everything. And this game looks nice. It looks AAA, just like the other game. But it's not AAA, unfortunately. it just tries to be AAA, but it's not. I feel like it's also too big. It's a really big open world game. It's really simple of its layout and its gameplay and everything. It's definitely trying to be like a Devil May Cry, like a hack and slash type of game. But unfortunately, it just doesn't really achieve that. It has like a gun, it has guns and it has swords and everything. It definitely trying to go for something, but I don't think it really achieves what it did. I think it's a $20 game right now.
Already? Wow, that's quick.
Yeah, it went down on price pretty fast, especially with like the way that people reacted to the game and everything. It's just, $20 is a good price though. If you can get it for that price, it's definitely a good price, I think. So I guess continuing here in the list of games that we got going on here. Space Jam: A New Legacy.
I still haven't watched the movie yet. I still gotta watch. I gotta get my HBO Max subscription on.
I don't care for Space Jam. I heard pretty bad things about it. I don't think I want to play that. So the next one is The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD.
I haven't picked it up yet, but I will eventually.
You haven't played it. Okay, you know what? No. I didn't really like the gameplay on the first one, on the Wii version. And I heard that it has been fixed, but I saw people playing the game and like the demoing of the controllers and everything, and I'm like, doesn't look any better. That looks worse. So, after seeing like the gameplay and everything, I was just like, I think I'm gonna skip on the game. Maybe later on, if I get it in a really deep, deep sale, which is probably not meant to happen because
it's a Zelda game on sale.
It's an Nintendo. So. Yeah. I think the only one time that I saw a Nintendo game, a Zelda game on sale, was that indie game that they did with Zelda characters on it.
Was it the
Tales of the Cryptomancer or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only one that I ever saw on sale. And again, it's not necessarily a Zelda game. It's more like it's wearing a skin of a Zelda game. But it's not a Zelda game, if that makes any sense. Alrighty, so I'm kind of scrapping by a little bit at this point. Got Chris Tales. Did you play that game?
No, but I do want to pick it up. It looks really
cool. I played a demo for it, and it really sold me on the game. It's beautiful looking. It's a nice RPG. Also, again, compared to Persona 5, for some reason, it's an RPG. It's just a turn-based RPG. Oh, so the cool element about this is the main protagonist can control time. So she's able to change between timelines in the fly in the middle of a battle. So she'll go from the past to the future in like seconds and everything. So she will travel... She'll time travel to the past and like throw water out somebody's shield and then fast forward to the future to like now the water on the shield oxidated so you can break the shield and everything. So like time mechanics are interesting. They definitely did something cool about the game. So if you're interested on RPGs, check it out. It's an indie game. It's like $20. Not a really expensive game. It may have been 30, I don't remember, like $29.99, something like that. But it's a cool game, definitely. Oh, so any other games that goes out of on the top of your head?
Nothing in July. I think all the July games I'm waiting to pick up later on the sale. But some maybe you want to talk about. I have a couple questions. Maybe you want to talk about Neo World Ends With You?
Oh, sure. I was going to talk about one more game before we jump into that one. So... the next game that I had here was Pokemon Unite. Have you played at all? Or
no, I haven't. I haven't been into Pokemon. Last Pokemon I played was Sapphire, Ruby and Sapphire on GBA. I've been out of the Pokemon scene a long time. I don't know when I'll ever be back.
You know, same here. Actually, I haven't been on the Pokemon hype in a long time. The last time that I willingly picked up a game was. The Ruby and Sapphire remakes that they did. And this game kind of popped out of nowhere, kind of like a surprise kind of thing. If you like League of Legends and that kind of stuff, this game is going to be right up the alley. I personally picked it up because I thought it was a different way to approach the combat of Pokemon and everything. And it's actually surprisingly good. Unfortunately... there is a lot of pay-to-win things, which if you're doing any kind of online game, it's a big no-no for me. And they really very much well went into a pay-to-win mechanic thing here. So very sad, but it is what it is. You know, they do what they will do. So I kind of fortunate that I enjoyed the game, but that was like the one thing that I was like, no, you messed it up. How would you do that? That was pretty much there. I guess we're gonna go for the big one, right? The World Ends With You.
Yeah, I have questions. I really want to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you haven't picked it up yet.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's my turn to talk about that game as well. What can I say about The World Ends With You? So big, real thing here before anything. This game, I was really worried about this game for a minute because of, they did some stuff that I was kind of worried about because of the previous game. So I wasn't a fan of the gameplay in the previous game. They did it on Switch and it had some issues with the gameplay, and I was very concerned about the game on like that aspect. I was like, oh, it's not gonna be as good, or it's gonna have some issues or whatever. But you know what? It did pretty cool stuff. It actually surprised me a lot. And no, this game does not give me Persona 5 vibes. I know a lot of people that keep saying that. So the Neo that we're honest with you, it's gonna sit on one of my games of the year. What it is it's very much a continuation of the first game, but it doesn't require you to play the previous game, if that makes sense. Like, it has a new cast of characters, but it does have some returning characters from the previous game. But main protagonist and his friend are stuck on like this time loop, I guess, and they have to do different things. They have a quest that are given by this organization called the Reapers, and they're playing this game called the Reaper game. So every day they have to compete for points, and then at the end of the week, the team with the lowest points dies. So now your protagonist and your friends are trying to scramble to get the most amount of points that they can and everything. It's definitely a game worth your time for two reasons. One, it's very stylish. And it's not in like, I don't mean like a Persona stylish. I mean like it owns its style, like from the music perspective to the gameplay, through everything about it. It knows what it's trying to go for. It's trying to be weird and wacky, but it also has like the fact that this game has an RPG style called style, you know that what they're going for. Like literally, like that's one of the stats in the game, style. So, yeah, cool. So they really like, it's part of the gameplay and everything. So, a really cool game. I think that it does a lot of cool things right. Unfortunately, I don't feel like I'm in the age range anymore where I can comfortably sit down and enjoy like the story from like a, oh man, these characters, because to me, I see a lot of these characters already from like older games, because let's be honest, a lot of these characters do have the same tropes. Like they're very tropey, and so that does play a part on the game. But I just think that it's a cool game. It's a great game.
Couple questions. You already answered one already. So if you never played the first one, you say this is a good one to just jump into. Not too much connections.
Yeah. So you will be out on some. Oh, that's cool. You know, like this character came back kind of moments. Because a lot of characters, even one of the ones that joins your party pretty early on in the story, is not a spoiler or anything, he is from the previous game and everything. So, yeah. But it also makes sense because when it comes to these games, what it is only the winner of the Reapers game gets to leave the game. You know, so everybody else that didn't win, it's stuck in the loop until they win. So it makes sense that some characters will come back because they're still stuck in the Reapers game. So you're bound to see returning characters and everything. So some characters make sense to be there. Some characters is just kind of, I know I disagree. I still think that they're really tropey characters. I don't care how deep you want to get in it. I feel like it's a really tropey game. But so is Persona. I don't mean it in a bad way when I say that the game is really tropey, but it is a tropey game. A lot of JRPGs are, and there's nothing wrong with that. Tropes are fun if you can play with them. This game and Persona do this thing where they grab a trope and they kind of break it apart. You know, like with the social links and the confidence and everything. They take a trope that is already well known and they kind of do things with it. They do something similar here, like, what you meet a character for may be very different down the line. I don't mean it in a bad way. I will say the anime does some things differently than the game. The game definitely has more story and everything. So I personally will say play the game in the 3DS or the DS if you can. If not, just watch the anime. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's something about playing a game, right? I feel like JRPGs don't translate super well into anime. Although this is a different medium altogether. The gameplay is so ingrained in this game You know, like, you really want to play the Reapers game. You don't want to watch it. That's how I feel about it, you know. Anyway, you had other
yeah, second question. Combat-wise, I know you played the first one. Did you play that Switch port, or you also played the original DS version?
So I played the Switch version first, which it was a mistake because it's terrible.
Yeah.
But then I went and back and played the DS version, which is better. And then this game actually doesn't play the same as the other game. It plays differently, which is cool. I'm going to give them props for that. They fixed a lot of my issues with the gameplay on the Switch version, which is fantastic.
So with the original DS, I know from what I've seen, it's really unique with that system as far as the stylus. And it's just like you can pretty much only play it that way on the original hardware. So how do you like how they change it to make it play properly on like a traditional like button layout on the Switch?
On this game? It's cool. I think it was definitely the better option. I think that they definitely approached this right. Although there are some new limitations because of what the choice of having the layout, the button layout. I think it's just different. It's so significantly different because the previous game was also on a 2D sprite system, which this one has like a more open world to fight on. You know, like when you pop up and you start fighting, you have a 3D full layout and everything like that, which is again different how they approach the game. It's just a very different game. They changed so many things in the gameplay aspect, but I personally think it's better. I think that it was a good change.
Can't wait to pick it up.
Yeah, definitely pick it up. It's a great game. It's going to be sitting on my top game so far. All right, so what else do we got? I don't really actually even know what we got left here.
I think we're pretty much caught up. I'm still playing catch up. August is a quiet month, so I did not pick up anything new this month. I guess Hades just came out, but I already played that. But I'm still playing Scarlet Nexus. I try not to like buy too many new games until I played all of the ones I already have.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, I agree with you, especially because this game, although we don't have a lot of games to talk to, I feel like a lot of them are long, 30, 40, 50 hour games. Like everything that we talked about was like a pretty lengthy game. A lot of them are either really long or really short. I don't think we had like a healthy $20 hour game that we played so far here. I don't think I have anything else here, actually. I'm looking through the games and I'm not seeing. I think the last game that I played was this game, actually. Can't think of anything else. Hades, I just downloaded it and I couldn't. Like, it's for some reason, it's just not working for me.
Is it on PlayStation?
It's on PC.
Oh, PC?
Yeah.
Has it been out on PC forever?
Yeah, no, it's it came out free on Game Pass, okay. Which I was like, like I mentioned before, I'm not into the whole style of the game, you know, being a roguelike and everything. Roguelike,
yeah.
So I was wanting to play it on PC for free, you know, just like, okay, I'll play for a few hours, and then if it's really good, like people say, then I can play I buy it on PlayStation 5 or whatever. Because that's what I do with Game Pass, you know. That's feel like that's how Game Pass should be. Like, you play a game, you like a game, you go and buy it, right?
Yeah.
Although, according to sales, 90% of the sales are from PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, and the rest of them are the other 10% is between Xbox and PC.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but it is what it is.
Good for us, but I don't know if it's good for them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't at this point, I actually don't know if Game Pass is going to be a thing in a few years from now. I don't know if Microsoft is getting money back on their investment. Like, yeah. Because it's going to take years before they actually see an actual back on their investment. And it's already been like 2 or 3 years, so I don't know if they're still making any money off of it. So, I don't know. I don't think it's. I think it's worth it for people. It's like, I had 6 months free from like somewhere, so I have plenty of chance to play games for free. So yeah, I think we're good as far as the games. So what games would you say are your top five games so far?
All right, top five. Have the list in front of me. Most of the games I played, I really enjoyed. So far, good year. Scarlet Nexus might crack it, but I'm still in the middle of it. So that might be like five or six. But I'm going to put it six for now because I haven't been yet. Five, I have Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. At number four, Persona 5 Strikers. Number three, Yeast 9 Monstrum Nox. Mm-hmm. Number two, Returnal. And number one, Resident Evil Village. Number one game of the year so far.
Right on, right on. So I was going to tell you something here. We forgot to talk about Mass Effects.
Oh, yeah. How could we forget?
So I think I'm a big Mass Effects fan. I think that this was just a solid HD remaster. Like, mm-hmm. I think like everybody who was a fan picked it up. I don't necessarily saw many people going new into these games. Did you see anybody like brand new going into them? I didn't hear a single on Twitter just going, "Oh, I'm going new into these games." I didn't see a single person saying that, to be honest. And I was hoping
it's been around for so long. If you played on the 360 PS3 era, everyone's played the Mass Effect games, you know, if not all three, at least one of them. So yeah. I'm pretty sure it's one of those that everyone's already tried it.
Yeah. I was hoping to see new people kind of comparing them, you know, like, because Mass Effect was one of those, I think, at least on the West, it really impacted the way they approach RPG, Western RPG style of games and everything like that. I mean, like branching stories and this is going to be a weird one, but this one has a lot of the same, almost like JRPG mechanics, or say like a Persona game, where like you can date anybody that you want. You have like decisions that you make. There is a alignment system. Like these, all of the they have like a lot of things that go well with JRPG fans and everything. But I've never seen this game be compared to like other RPGs or anything like that. But I would like to see how people see this game, because these are older games. Like, these are PlayStation 3 games, like you say. Like, how do they feel about this game? I don't know. I played this game on the PlayStation 3. So like, to me, I feel like they are great, solid games, but I don't necessarily feel like the first one particularly, I don't think it aged well, but it's still a really fun game.
It's still really good. Yeah. If I were to rank the trilogy, my ranking still remains the same. I'll go 2-1 and then 3. I think 2 is still peak of the
series. Oh, yeah. You know what? I have the exact same ranking.
Yeah.
3 being at the bottom, 2 mid, and then number 1 being the second wave game. So yeah, I very much feel the same way about them. Did you ever play the other Mass Effect game they did on the PlayStation 4?
I did. Andromeda. I picked it up.
Yeah.
I picked it up day one. It's... the thing about that, it's not as bad as they say, but it's not as good as you want it to be. So it's not compared to the trilogy, it's not that good, but it's not horrible. So it's like, it's fine.
Yeah. It's just, it's one of those solid 7 games, I think.
Yeah.
It's just a solid 7 game. Like, it's a good $20 game. I think I actually bought it for $20. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? It's worth the $20 that I played for. So it's fine. It's not a bad game, but I don't think it's necessarily a great game or anything. For me, my list so far of the year, and it's going to be Persona 5 Strikers as like the bottom. Then we have Ratchet & Clank, Nier, and then Resident Evil Village.
Cool.
Is that 5?
So we have this. Yep. No, I think you're missing one.
I'm missing one.
Neo? Are you still playing that?
Neo, I'm sorry. That's the one. That's the Neo and then Resident Evil Village. There you go.
Okay, so our Village is your number 2. Yeah. So World Ends With You is number 1. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. So, great games. I think all of them are good games. I just feel like I haven't had a chance to really, like, JRPGs-wise, like, I haven't finished the older storyline of Scarlet Nexus, for example. So to me, I'm kind of like, do I still want to play that and go back? Because it does get repetitive over time, as far as the gameplay and everything, so I'm kind of like, oh, and then I haven't finished a lot of the endings of Nier, for example. Like, I finished ending A and B, but I haven't done the other ones yet.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but then I was spoiled by that post the other day on Twitter about like the big twist on the other ones. So it's like, well, that kind of makes me not really want to touch them anymore. Yeah. Like, at least, like, replay them, because that's the whole thing of the replayer and everything, right? But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much on that end. Did you have any other extra games that you kind of wanted to go over or anything like that?
No, I think we touched everything. All the titles I played. I play a lot of older games too. But you know, as far as 2021 releases, we pretty much went over all of them. Another one we didn't talk about, got a lot of good reviews. It Takes Two, that co-op game.
Takes Two. Oh, yeah.
From the Fuck the Oscars guy.
You know, I played the previous game that he played, he made, and he's really good, actually.
Yeah.
He may be a little wacky with the stuff that he said and everything, but he's still a pretty solid director. Like, it's a pretty good game. So I'll check that one out. I think it sounds pretty fun. So now I want to go over the games that haven't come out that you want to check out.
Rest of the year?
Yeah, for the rest of the year, yeah. So did you have any particular highlights or anything like that?
For your channel, should we mention the obvious one first? Probably the one that'll probably dethrone RE Village. Even though I love that game, it feels weird having that as my game of the year. I don't think it's going to end up being there. Obviously, Shin Megami Tensei 5, like, we've been waiting forever, and it still doesn't feel real. We got a date. We got so many coverage, but I still don't believe it. I want it in my hands to believe it's real.
Right. I'm very hyped for that game too. I think I'm very excited for it. I think it's gonna do great. Let's see what else we got. I got No More Heroes 3. That looks pretty fun. Like, it's gonna be a fun game to play through. What else do we got here? Life is Strange Through Colors. See, I've been a fan of the Life is Strange games. I understand that not for everybody, but I just like them for fun. I wouldn't say they're like, oh, super masterful writing or anything like that. But they're fun. I enjoy the games. Tales of Arise, of course.
I'm really hyped for that.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. Them. I already have waifus on this game, and I haven't played it yet.
That one's very soon. It's only like a few weeks away.
Yeah. Kena, Bridge of Spirits.
Lost Judgment, also. And they're all coming out in September.
Lost Judgment. Ooh, wow, that's going to be a packed month.
Yeah.
They also have Death Stranding Director's Cut, which I'm not going to pick up. I'm probably just going to buy the PlayStation 4 game and finally play it.
You haven't played it?
No, I've been avoiding it.
I like it a lot. I don't know if I'm going to pick this one right away either. At some point I'll try it out.
Of course. And then Far Cry 6. I'm a fan. I asked Sega for a review code for Demon Slayer, so hopefully I get that. Let's see, Age of Empires 4. I'm a fan of Age of Empires. Fatal Frame, Meaning of the Blackwater.
Also, I love my horror games, so yeah. I'll pick it up for sure.
Let's see, Shin Megami Tensei 5, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. I'm not really good. I'm probably gonna pick them up just for the heck of it, kind of thing. Like, oh, you know, I'll play it later on or whatever. Dying Light 2. I've been waiting for that game for like a whole year. Abandon.
I don't want to talk about that.
Like, I don't want to talk about Abandon. Oh man, that game. If you don't know, if you've been living under a rock for a while, look up Abandon Kojima. Just look it up. They're the crazy theories of the internet. Keep me alive sometimes. I think that's pretty much it. I think everything else was already delayed. I think they already confirmed that they delayed Horizon Zero Dawn, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Sony didn't say that directly, but like all the report, like every like journalist or reporter, like basically confirmed that they just haven't said the bad news. I'm actually kind of bummed about that. I know every delays it for the better, but I was really hoping that'd be like one of the big fall titles.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, that's pretty much on the expecting games. I think that there are some pretty cool games that I probably haven't mentioned, but I'm not really thinking of right on the bat. But I mean, it's already a lot of cool games. I can't think of anything else. There's this other game. It's a Batman game with like the Bat Family. It's like you can play as Robin or Nightwing or Batgirl.
I think that got delayed too.
Actually. Did that get delayed too? Okay.
Got delayed. Yeah.
I know the Harry Potter game got delayed too.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, everything.
You think Halo? You think Halo's gonna make it? Halo Infinite?
I don't know. I don't. I haven't heard the reception of the beta. I think it was it good? Like people actually liked it, or?
Yeah, I think Halo people liked it.
Okay, Halo people liked it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like I can't speak about Halo. I like the last Halo that I played was Halo 2.
Oh, for me it's 3 on 360. Yeah. But if I don't know, I might give it a shot. If I have friends that want to play it, I'll check it out.
Yeah, if it's free on the PC, I might just pick it up. You know, that's what I do with Xbox Game Pass. I just play like an hour or two, and I'm like, that was cool. You know, at least I can talk about it, or you know, like
yeah.
I can make a video about it or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I want to thank you so much for coming by and talking to me about the games of the year so far. I think I was trying to do this in June, but then I realized there wasn't a lot of games going on at the time. I was like, we have some games, but do we have enough for like a whole podcast? Yeah. You know, so
probably best we waited. I haven't played nearly as much at that point. Like I said, I just got into Scarlet Nexus now and like stuff like Hitman. So like August, you know, this past month or two is a little quieter for me, so I got a lot of chance to catch up on the earlier games from this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a good time with all the games that I played. I don't necessarily think like if I were to compare a lot of these games to other years, some of them probably wouldn't be on like the game of the year or anything. But it's because a lot of the publishers wait until like the later of the year, like November or December, to drop the big games and everything. So I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of games that we haven't talked about yet that they're going to drop later on or whatever. And they're going to be like big games or whatever. So I'd be interested to see what they do with that. But nothing at this point, really. It's just kind of been like, kind of like a waiting game. 2020 and 2021, unfortunately, with COVID and everything, we just don't know where what's going to happen from here on. More games may be delayed. I don't know.
Yeah, just nature of it, unfortunately.
Right, unfortunately. So anyway, thank you, everybody, for coming in. I do appreciate you guys dropping by and coming into the podcast and everything. Drop a like if you haven't already. Check out Devil May Cry's channel. He does do Megaten content and Persona content. He also does a lot more JRPGs and all those stuff that I don't do on my channel. So if you want gaming stuff and everything, he does have a pretty cool channel. So check it out. His channel is in the description down below.
Appreciate you guys stopping by.
Alrighty, see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye.